Hi folks, Justin Rogers here. Nolan Bianchi. Bianchi. We decided.
Bianchi.
What does grandma say?
Bianchi.
Bianchi. All right. First night of the NFL draft 2024 in the books.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw. It looked like the kids went crazy downtown.
They did.
Like crazy. Awesome. I mean, like, yeah. Just besides the fact of what happened with the Lions, really cool showcase for the city. I think that was what it was designed to be. It looked like it just went about as well as could have imagined down there. So that's really cool. On the football side of things, Brett Holmes did it again. I think we all kind of understood the assignment. They needed a cornerback in this draft. Wasn't sure if it was going to happen in day one or day two, but I think we all knew it was going to happen. Wasn't sure one of those top guys would be available. That's why a lot of people were mocking Kool-Aid McKinstry, maybe the fourth or fifth best corner of the draft. Nope, Terrion Arnold, I think number one on a lot of people's boards. Certainly number one on Brad Holmes' board. They move up and get him. What do you think of the pick?
Well, you said that the everything downtown went as well as it possibly could have. I think that could be the same thing that we say for the Lions draft. I mean, Brad Holmes, he said he was short of speechless, but I think there was an element to him that was a little bit speechless when he took the podium in Allen Park today of just, I mean, ever since the combine especially, I had no belief that there was any chance that Terrion Arnold was going to be available into the 20s, let alone kind of the mid-20s, at a place where the Lions could strike at a cost that isn't really all that much. And so, I mean, again, as good as it possibly could have gone for the Lions tonight.
I think we all expected the offense to dominate this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we expected it to dominate in this way, and I think Holmes kind of reflected the same in his own comments. Top 14 picks, all offensive players. Never had been more than seven in a row to start a draft before. So all six quarterbacks went in the top 12, which is insanity. I mean, it's crazy. It's more reflective, I guess, of what we've always thought of the draft with people overpaying for quarterbacks, but this year just record-setting in a sense. And so I had Arnold coming off the board 15. I think that was kind of the range of where I thought he was going to be available. I did note that I thought it was worthwhile for the Lions. He was one of the players I thought worthwhile to trade up for. When it gets to that point and you only have to spend a third rounder, even though I think analytics have shown that trading down is generally the way to go, this is a roster that's in a good spot.
Yep.
And it's a good spot short term. It's in a pretty good spot long term. The quarterback was a long term need, and to go out and get your guy at that minimal of a cost, I just think it was a no brainer.
Yeah, and I know we were kind of racking our brains, kind of trying to figure out who was going to be available at this pick as we were going up to this pre-draft process. My last mock draft, I put a bunch of quarterbacks to go high in the first round, just kind of curious what would see what happened. And I remember as I was going through, I was like, man, this is kind of a best-case scenario for the Lions because there's guys at every position who are falling. And we know how it is with the Lions. They're not just going to go, oh, okay, we need a corner. There's a group of three corners. We'll take whoever's left. They're going to have their specific bucket of guys that they're willing to pick from. And you don't always know they're going to be there, and it's not maybe as simple as some other draft boards are. And so the fact that they were able to come out here and do what they did is nothing short of amazing, honestly.
I haven't actually double-checked everything. I don't think they have a pick. So they have 61 in the second round. Mm-hmm. Then nothing till the fifth round, is that correct?
I believe so.
So they've given up their fourth round and both third rounders they had in this trade and then the trade they got Carlton Davis. So they've used two third rounders to get two, I guess, starting quality corners.
Yeah.
Doesn't give Holmes a lot of flexibility to move around the board tomorrow unless he wants to start dipping into future assets. Doesn't really seem to be his MO, but I think the Lions still could get an impactful player there. It's going to be a long wait for him. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to be antsy. I can't imagine how antsy he is going to get. But, you know, I was just looking over some of the names, and look, I think we still need a long-term offensive lineman needs to be addressed here. There's some guards, you know, obviously the two that were mentioned in the first-round conversations in Jackson Powers-Johnson, or Johnson Powers-Jackson, I keep mixing
first
up. Zach Frazier, you know, that's the Lions guy that all the analysts point here, but, like, those are two guys that make all kinds of sense. And then you can dip into even that next group with Cooper Beebe. You know, like there's guys out there, wide receiver, defensive line. There's guys at all those spots of intrigue. And so I really do think they're going to get another guy that can either contribute this year in a rotational role, but really be a piece in 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked at length about how deep this receiver class is, how deep this the cornerback class is. Obviously, they kind of got that need out of the way early. But I just think that with Brad Holmes, you've kind of developed a little bit of trust in his ability to go out there and find a guy. If he only has a pick, you kind of have a feeling that he's going to make it count. He's going to go out and get somebody that he thinks can be a good pro.
So, I don't know, pick a position. I mean, do you have a gut feel? Do you think they stick with the defensive side and continue to build that? Do you think they go out and they get that offensive lineman? Where do you think they end up going just based on maybe what's on the board? Obviously, a lot of variables at play. You can't really predict it, but what's your gut tell you?
I feel wide receiver still. That was a position that had kind of crept up on me as the draft process went along, to the point that as we got really close to the draft process, I thought that there was a fairly decent chance that they were going to draft a wide receiver with their first-round pick. But like I said, when you just look at the depth of the class, I think that there's a really good chance that when the Lions pick next, there's going to be a player there that Brad Holmes really likes.
I'm going to go a different position than maybe what I was talking about earlier. Okay. I think defensive tackle is yep. really in play. I think that's what the group look. I mocked him, Johnny Newton, mm-hmm. in the first. He fell out of the first, which I think is a little bit of a surprise. Not stunning, but you know, certainly on the surprising end of the scale. He's not going to be in play at 61. I mean, it's almost inconceivable. But you want to say that last name for me?
Fisk.
No, I can say that one.
A row, row, row.
Yeah.
Ruka row, row, row.
And look, I mean, that's a Michigan native. I like him. I saw Michael Hall kind of getting some buzz, but I really like Fisk. I you know, the combine was impressive, obviously, but what I was really impressed with, he took skills that he showcased at a lower level, went to FSU, and largely maintained that production. And then to pop that off with the combine, like, that's a guy that I think has a ceiling that would really fit here. And I don't know, there's something to be said. And they do like adding those local guys that have, I guess, a sense of the organizational history. Like, I think they find that has a value in some way, an intrinsic value. So that's a guy I'm really watching that I think could still be on the board. 61. If you want to stick with local guys, I mean,
yeah,
well, or Nealon too.
Chris Jenkins from Michigan. I mean, yeah. He's another guy who, throughout this process, as you know, guys were starting to dig further into maybe some guys further on down the draft board. They were coming away really, really impressed, and Chris Jenkins, throughout this pre-draft process, basically since the combine, has been getting a ton of love from a lot of different scouts and analysts. So he's definitely an option there.
Do you have a favorite wide receiver? I pulled up the list just to kind of remind you who's here.
Got, yeah, I love my Keon Washington Coleman, guys. Troy Franklin. Jalen Mellon still on the board.
Polk has, I've comped him several times to just the Josh Reynolds skill set. I just think there's a natural porting there, but I mean, a lot of these guys make sense.
No, A.D. Mitchell is a guy who
he's been your favorite for a while.
Yep.
Talk about good combines.
So, yeah.
All right, well, guess what? We're going to be here looking like a lighter workload.
We'll see.
Not too upset about that.
Can't trust Brad Holmes.
It is already 1 o'clock, and I have not even started with this day 2 players to watch column that I got to churn out here. So sorry about that. Copy editors at the desk waiting for that. We're shooting this video. For Nolan Biocchi.
Thank you, Paul.
I think I wore this thing enough today.
Yeah, I don't think you wore it on camera enough, if you ask me.
I'm Justin Rogers.
I'm Noel Bianchi, and I don't look nearly as cool as he does.
Stick with Detroit News for all your Lions coverage.